It's coming up for 4:30 on Saturday afternoon, day 23. The sun's starting to sink in the west. I'm riding in that direction. Still got a fair way to go, but the day's definitely cooling down a little bit and the riding's getting a lot more pleasant now. I've been listening to my iPod most of the day. They just played my theme song, Simply Red, Holding Back the Years. I thought I was holding back the years when I first started listening to that back in 86 when I spent 4 months hiking the Appalachian Trail in the US at the ripe old age of 35, which I thought was pretty old. It's probably more appropriate now at 56 doing this. The day's panned out pretty much as I expected. It was very hot in the middle. I still got about 60k to go. I'll get to Willair Bridge, the roadhouse. It's the junction of the road that turn off that goes to Derby, where I don't want to go. It's just an out and back section. So I have a room booked at the roadhouse. Probably at the next stop I make for a rest, I'll set myself up for night riding. That means changing my sunglasses for my clear glasses, because I wear contact lenses. I can't afford to ride without glasses, or get bugs in my eyes, or dust, or whatever. I've got two generator-powered front lights, which I can just turn on with a flick of the switch, and three battery-operated tail lights. Various parts of the bike and my backpack, and also have a headlamp that I don't usually have on, but it's there if I need to look at something carefully. So I am pretty well lit up and haven't had any near misses when riding at night. A couple of interesting encounters earlier in the day. About 60 kilometres west of Fitzroy Crossing, a car slowly pulled up next to me, and the passenger asked me whether I was Dave Burns, and when I said yes, he said, oh, he was Jim, a friend of Dave Cundy, who's a long-time running acquaintance of mine, and more recently a regular golfing buddy on the Central Coast where he's moved now. And Jim's a long-time friend of Dave Cundy's and was touring up in this area, and David told him I was going to be up this way. And so Jim and his wife Gay and his father Don, who's also travelling with them with a caravan, had been checking the web in Fitzroy Crossing where they arrived last night, and found out from my diary that I was expecting to get to Fitzroy Crossing last night. They couldn't find me even though we were staying in the same place. I got there a little bit late, as I said. But anyway, as they set out on the road west this morning, they decided to keep an eye out for me, and there I was. So they pulled over a little bit further up the road, and I stopped, and we had a cup of coffee and a nice chat, and it was a pleasant surprise to meet someone from so far away with that strong mutual connection in Dave Cundy. Then a little bit further on, a little convoy of three vehicles came along, all four-wheel drives, and they were road testing vehicles. There was a lead warning vehicle and a trailing warning vehicle, and then the middle vehicle had some kind of trailer with a whole lot of sensors on it, and it was their job to stop every 800 metres along the road and conduct a test on the road surface with this battery of tests in the thing. So each test took about, I don't know, 30 seconds to do. So they were doing this stop-start operation along the highway. I don't know where they started and where they finished. They could have been going around Australia, who knows. But because of their stop-start operation, it meant that they weren't travelling much faster than me. So for many kilometres, I kept on catching this test vehicle after he'd stopped while he was doing the test, and then he'd have to pass me and start again. He was always trying to get in front of me, but he never quite could. I could always catch him by the time he finished the next test. Anyway, that went on for quite some time till we hit a big long hill and I fell behind. the road is supposed, well, it looks sort of fairly flat, and I'm sure if you're driving a car you think it's fairly flat, but there are a lot of long gradual hills, and sometimes it's just, you think you're really working hard and you can't work out why. It seems flat, the wind doesn't seem to be against you, and then all of a sudden you start going faster and you realise that now you're going down what you had been going up. You can see a long way ahead on some of these straight stretches, many kilometres, and on either side it's mostly scrubland, although there's been some fairly extensively burned out areas. I'm passing through one now where I'm sure they're controlled burns because they haven't destroyed the trees, they've just burned everything at ground level, and they're still smouldering, huge areas. I don't know how they manage the fires. You know, every now and then you'll come across a log that's just burning at one end or something, and lots of stuff smoking. And I saw a few willy willies, which are Australian for small tornadoes, whipping up the dust and ash in a few places as well, which were sort of these small black smokestacks rising out of the burnt landscape. There's more baobab trees. I hope I got their name right. These ones with these huge fat trunks and the bad hair days branches sticking out the top. So I guess maybe as I get closer to the coast again, that's a feature. Fair bit of traffic on the road. A lot of holiday makers, you know, grey nomads with caravans and camper vans. It's a major sort of tourist destination, this area. You've got Broome, which isn't that far away on the coast, a fabulous cable beach, and a lot of history about Broome, old diving port, and then you've got the Kimberley Ranges and lots of good gorges and great scenery, good hiking, nice waterfalls, great swimming holes. It's got it all, so it's a popular place for people to fly into and spend a few days touring, either as part of a package or on their own. I think I'm going to get there about 7 tonight. The lady, when I called on the phone, was adamant that whatever time I got there, they'd cook me a meal. She seemed very friendly. I said I hope not to keep them too late, and I don't think I will unless something unforeseen happens in the next 60 kilometres. It would have been nice to finish earlier on a short day, but I won't be leaving early tomorrow. I'll have breakfast at this place as well before I head off. I've only got 130k to ride, so I'll get a good sleep, and I'm still looking forward to that. That's it for now.